Good evening. I'm Rick Cottom. Welcome to Your Maryland. On September 17, 1862, just before dawn, the veteran First Corps of the Army of the Potomac began to march in line of battle down both sides of the Hagerstown Pike toward the sleepy village of Sharpsburg. Their eyes were fixed on a little white church and the woods and fields all around it, where Stonewall Jackson awaited them with his guns and infantry. 3 miles farther south, more Union troops were to cross a handsome stone bridge and come in behind the rebels, crush them, and drive them into the Potomac. The plans quickly fell apart. The Federal commander, who was supposed to take the bridge, never bothered to look at it or to see that he didn't have to take it at all. Antietam Creek was so shallow his men could have waded across it anywhere. As he dallied, Stonewall Jackson was stopping the Yankees cold in a 30-acre cornfield. Then, after 4 hours of fire and blood around the little church, one Federal column got lost in the smoke and veered a little south toward the undefended center of the rebel positions. Robert E. Lee recognized the danger at once and rushed every soldier he could find into a farm lane that, after years of erosion and heavy wagons, had fallen below the level of the fields on either side. The rebels tore down fences and piled the rails in front of them to make a breastwork, while a few officers rode to the top of the small ridge to their front to see how much time they had left. What they saw took their breath away. Line after line of men in new dark blue uniforms with bright white leggings marched steadily toward them in a beautiful pageant, drums beating, colors flying, bayonets sparkling in the sun. In the center of the first line was the 5th Maryland Infantry. They were mostly Germans from Baltimore. For years they'd suffered at the hands of gangs like the Rip Raps, Blood Tubs, and Plug Uglies, who assaulted them in the street and beat them whenever they tried to vote. Nevertheless, when war broke out, these same men, many of them recently arrived from Europe, demonstrated their faith in the country by enlisting for the Union. Until now, they'd spent all their time drilling, but today their hour had come. One of their own, a large man, walking in a measured, stately pace, carried the stars and stripes before them as the lines rolled across the fields and started up the little slope in perfect order. The rebel officers raced back to the lane and told their men to hurry with the breastworks. A moment later, the Union battle line appeared on the ridge. Next to the Marylanders, the 1st Delaware's commander jauntily waved his hat to the officers in the lane below. They returned the salute and told their men to aim at the Yankees' cartridge belts. 2,000 rifles slid through those fence rails. Colonel John B. Gordon of the 6th Alabama looked up at these men from Maryland and Delaware and thought to himself, "What a pity to spoil with bullets such a scene of martial beauty." The rebels waited until the blue line was almost upon them, then they fired. The effect was appalling, Gordon would say later. That was an understatement. The entire front rank went down in that first volley, a blast so strong it lifted men up and hurled them backward. The Yankees retreated into a field of standing corn. Minutes later, the 5th Maryland's color bearer raised his flag and walked alone out into the open. Less than 50 yards from the lane, amid his fallen friends, he stopped and called on his men to rally. Other regiments threw themselves at the sunken road at terrible cost. Eventually, they managed to outflank the lane and fire down into it until the Confederates were forced to withdraw. The battle moved on. Later that day, it ended in stalemate. A few years ago, a group of Army officers toured the battlefield at Antietam with a professional guide. When they came to the sunken road, now called Bloody Lane, one of them looked down from the ridge and shook his head. "You couldn't get American troops to make that assault today," he said. Like him, we wonder what moved men to do such things. Men who were despised in their adopted city, like that German who carried the Maryland colors and whose fate is lost to history.